end of the pies.
I mean,
Oregon,
like,
I didn't even know, you know, all those pies existed. Like
Marionberry, boysenberry, raspberry, blueberry, strawberry, peach.
The whole, yeah, you yes. know, just, you know, every pie.
Yes.
In that, you know, every pie. But, so yes, this been a great show today, don't you think?
It has been an awesome show, T6. It's always fun with you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, always fun. Always, man. I know. It seemed
what's
like
life
it,
without laughter?
I know. It seemed like it went faster today.
It did.
I was a little nervous last time we did this show, so you know, this time, you know,
we're professionals.
Oh, we're professionals. Yeah, we're professionals, you guys. We are. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us today
thank
on
what's
life,
to without
what's
life without laughter.
You can always catch us again. Please come to the KBOO website. Please tune in to KBOO website. Please
Happy
get
Veterans
involved.
Day.
Happy Veterans Day
week.
To all the veterans out there. Yeah, and again,
you.
Thank you yeah. for supporting KBOO 90.7.
Yes. KBOO's 90.7. Thank you, T6.
Thank you, Belinda.
The Queen.
The Queen.
Thank you.
The Amazon Queen. Have a good day, everybody.
Take a ride, there's a party over there that ain't no job. It's live, it's all the way live. Don't even have to walk, don't even have to drive. Just slide, slippity slide. Just forget about your troubles and your 9 to 5. And just sail on, that's what you do. Just sail on. Now the zoo's so funky, hey, what do you think? What is it called? It's called a Lakeside Stank.
6:30. It's time for Free Culture Radio with Doug McVeigh.
The studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the inescapable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being drug users. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when drug users are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. It's November, that time of year when people in the U.S. traditionally gather with family members and friends to eat a large meal, get into violent arguments over politics and religion, then fall asleep in front of a TV while watching football. It's the perfect time to look at the influence of marijuana on religion and spirituality. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, we hear from a couple of experts on the subject, researchers and writers Steve Hager and Chris Bennett, along with the host of Free Culture Radio, yours truly, Doug McVeigh. We were on a panel together back at Portland Hempstock in 2015 discussing this very subject. There's a lot here, so let's just get to it. The first voice you hear will be that of Steve Hager. He'll also tell you a bit more about himself.
So I founded the Cannabis Cup and was the editor-in-chief of High Times for about 25 years. And I did a lot of deep political research. When I was editor of High Times, we did a lot of heavy politics in High Times. And we did the history of cannabis and religion. We broke all those stories, along with Jack Herrera. Doug McVeigh introduced me to Jack's work, and he's responsible for hemp coming into High Times. And he helped pioneer and support the hemp tours that the Freedom Fighters and High Times and Debbie Goldsberry were all working on. I'm a journalist. I didn't start out to be a cannabis and religion guy. Probably a lot of you are afraid of religion. I was raised a Lutheran, so I got a heavy dose of spirituality as a kid. And then got really offended and upset when I was in grade school and my older brother told me it was all a lie. It was like a Santa Claus story. And I was like, why didn't you tell me this years ago? You know what I mean? Here I'm worrying about going to hell and all this stuff. And my movie is, cannabis started all the major religions. The first stoners domesticated the horse, invented the wheel. They didn't develop a written language, which is why they're not part of history. So, but their spoken language became Sanskrit and Greek. If you study the history of language, you will see the roots of Sanskrit and Greek are both what's known as the Indo-European language. Those are the Sakas from the Ukraine, the first stoners. And we know that they smoked cannabis, but they smoked it in teepees. They fill the teepee up with hot stones, and then they throw the colas on the stones. They go in that thing, it'll be a huge hot box, and Herodotus wrote about it, a Greek historian. He said they come out of the tent in a blast of smoke, laughing and having a great time. Okay, so these are the people that went to China and brought the silk trade back from China, because they invented the wheel and they invented covered wagons. And so they took the history of cannabis out of religion. It was the burning bush of Moses. It is the soma of the Rig Veda. And anybody who studies this, like Chris Bennett has done, it becomes very obvious that there's a huge lie told by all these religions, because they're not telling you that cannabis inspired their religion. So, but my movie is to reform religion from within. I do not believe in attacking people's culture, and I believe in respecting their ceremonies, not their dogma, but their ceremonies. I only have one rule: don't hurt anybody. As long as you respect that rule, you can do whatever you want in our temple. You can put any icon you want on our temple, as long as you don't hurt anybody. So we're about putting all the cultures, all the races, all the spiritualities, all the sexualities into one ceremony where we all gather together. And we do this in order to break the hoodwink. Religion is used to foment wars, to make money. War is about money, that's all it's about. So what we're doing is we're going through evolution of religion right now. So you notice, when we do our ceremonies, we use seven candles, because the seventh pointed star is the star of the Magi. The Magi were the cannabis users. The three wise men who come to the birth of Jesus are carrying frankincense, myrrh, and cannabis. Come on, man. These are spiritual people. You think they're bringing gold to the ceremony? No. That's a hoodwink. So, but you notice there's a different sigil on each candle. You notice the candles make an arrow. They point up, which is the direction we want you to go with your vibes, not down. We want you to be all-inclusive. We have all the colors of the rainbow. Every candle has a different scent. If we could use cannabis, this would be shatter scent. This would be the scent of cannabis. But we have to use patchouli because they won't let us use cannabis. This is frankincense, which is the holy scent used by the Catholic Church, too. They got that from the stoners. So there's a different scent because each scent applies to a different chakra. There's seven chakras, seven colors of the rainbow, seven notes of the scale, 7 days of the week. And when all this religion started, there were seven planets, too. So we know better than that now. But so that's why one reason religion's got to grow up. So if we just band together, there's a huge crisis in spirituality. Do not be afraid. Just band together with your friends. Use cannabis in a ceremonial setting. When you have enough people, you can move from your living room to buy an old church for $2,000 and nobody uses it anymore. Because I'm telling you, cannabis is going to bring a huge wave of spiritual consciousness. There's a tremendous change that's going to take place. The thing about the original cannabis users is they were vegetarians. They were nonviolent. This culture has been erased off the face of the earth. Pot makes people accept more cultures into the group. And cannabis and spirituality is transforming our culture. It started in Congo Square in the 1700s. Congo Square is where reefer smoking really takes hold, because the people that are jamming there, the slaves, the Native Americans, and whatever white dudes happen to stumble into Congo Square, invented blues, jazz, and rock and roll. And they were all smoking pot when they did it. And the thing about this ceremony is everybody was invited. They didn't exclude anybody. Anybody could go to Congo Square on a Sunday in New Orleans for 200 years, and it's the only place in the world where Native Americans, blacks, Hispanics could play drums together. and jam. So that's why hip-hop starts in the South Bronx. It's the same scene all over again. Marijuana's fueling the birth of hip-hop. And it's the same 50 people creating the culture. You can have an enormous cultural awakening. You only need 50 people to create a culture, to transform the earth, and then another 500 people to watch and put their energy in as the audience. But this magic can happen anytime you want to take control of your spirituality. Religion was invented to give the king the right to rule. Don't kid yourself. It wasn't done to enlighten you. It wasn't done to make you feel good. It wasn't done so you live forever. It was done to go, hey, this dude who's in charge, who's got everything, God put him here. So forget about observing the dogmas of religion because it's about control. But keep the ceremonies of your ancestors intact. Respect their ceremonies because the ceremonies resonate with our DNA. And when you get together with other cultures and you share ceremonies in a democratic form, it builds such a loving community, such a wholesome thing to teach people not to be bigoted, but to accept other people's ideas of ceremony. So, I mean, this is the future that is awaiting for us. The people that use cannabis have to understand we are the real magicians. The star of the Magi comes from Ma, which is Chinese for hemp. So Ma, okay, was milk and cannabis. And magic and shaman come from marijuana. The original people that wore the cross on their forehead were women from China who brought cannabis and soma to the Middle East. And the cross comes from them. Okay, it doesn't come from the Romans. The Romans usurped what was going on. They destroyed the temple, they burned all the documents, and they banished everybody that was practicing this new vegetarian lifestyle, this new idea of nonviolence from Buddha, that was integrating the Eastern religions with the, you know, the Middle East and the Greek and the Egyptian religions, and they rewrote the whole story. So just understand that there's a lot of real stuff there. The poetry is worthy of our respect. The stories are worthy of our respect. The dogmas are not worth following. There's only one real rule. Don't hurt anybody.
There you go. Also welcoming Chris Bennett from Cannabis Culture.
Sorry about being late.
No, you're not late. You're actually on time. And give us a few words, spirituality and cannabis.
Yeah, spirituality and cannabis. You know, cannabis has been used for spiritual purposes long before any existing religion existed. For thousands and thousands and thousands of years, people have been getting inspiration from this plant. And it's smoked and ingested in other ways. The oldest evidence actually comes from the Ukraine region, 5,500 years. This is for ingesting cannabis. Of course, we have older evidence for hemp. But the oldest evidence of ingesting cannabis actually comes from the Ukraine region. And this from that area, it spread throughout the ancient world. And in many of the existing world's oldest religions, they actually started with cannabis. We could take an existing religions like the Shinto religion in Japan, all based around hemp. Ceremonial hemp cloth is still used in Shinto religion, ceremonial hemp paper, and that goes back thousands of years. In China, we have the example of Taoism. 2,500 years ago, a Taoist devotee wrote first a yin, then a yang. No one knows what I do. Jade buds of holy hemp for the one that lives apart, you know? And that's kind of like, you know, we have ups and downs in life, but cannabis kind of keeps me steady on that steady road and in the Tao. And we can look at Buddhism, where legends of Buddha going back 2,500 years as well subsisted on one hemp seed a day before announcing his divine revelations. And in later Tibetan Buddhism, cannabis is used in all sorts of magical ceremonies and devoted to gods like Mahakala, the Lord of Time. In the Zoroastrian religion, Zoroaster, the prophet Zoroaster, this is a still existing religion, had a heavy influence on both Christianity and Judaism. Zoroaster received all his inspiration from bong, which is a cannabis beverage. Bonga was Zoroaster's good narcotic, it was called to. It was the first on a list of 1,000 medicines in the Zend Avesta. We could look at, go to India, where cannabis is used in honor of Shiva, the oldest continually worshipped god on earth, man. Where bhang and chilums of hashish are still partaken in honor of Shiva to this day, as well as at Kali in India, Vishnu, or the Baals, the musical religious culture, the Baals who partake of cannabis all the time and write about it in their beautiful songs. We could look at the Islamic religion. Sufis going back 12th, 11th century have been partaking of hashish and cannabis-infused wines and other cannabis preparations for more than 1,000 years. Some people have even suggested that Muhammad himself, I don't want to get a fatwa here on me, Muhammad himself is was a partaker of cannabis. There's a 16th century text from India, the Dabistan, that describes they're preparing bong and they've got nothing to strain the cannabis leaves out of the milk, and Muhammad takes off his turban and it's strained through that, and that's why his turban's green, the color of his clan, the Hashim. And all through it, you know, the Ishmaelis, you know, cannabis was even up to the modern day, Sufis and stuff were partaking of cannabis for its mystical purposes. And in ancient Judaism, you know, probably some of you have heard by now about this Hebrew term, cannabosom, that appears in the Old Testament a number of times. And scholars going back about a century have been suggesting that this was a reference to cannabis that was actually mistranslated when the Hebrew texts were translated into Greek. And when you go back and you take a look at these references in the context that they appear in the Old Testament, it's really fascinating. And the first of these references, Exodus 30:23, God, who first appears to Moses in flames of fire from within a burning bush, commands Moses to make this holy anointing oil with about 6.5 pounds of cannabis mixed with myrrh and cinnamon, put into about 1.5 gallons of olive oil. And this oil was applied topically, but was also placed on the altar of incense like some sort of ancient dab technique. And Moses would be inside this enclosed enclosure called the tent of the meeting, and he'd speak to the Lord in the pillar of smoke. When you throw cannabis into that recipe, that biblical recipe, Moses becomes like a shaman, and like a shaman in other cultures in Africa and South America and places like that today, partake of a psychoactive substance, and they interpret the experience they got from that substance as some sort of divine revelation. You know, so this is like very, very, very powerful medicine for the ancient world. And it's a really powerful outlook, I think, on what an important role these substances play in our modern existence. You know, Sikh religion as well, the Nihang Sikhs were the guardians of the temple. You know, they partook of a Sukkadun, a holy sacrament. So Nihangs, Hindus, Zoroastrians, Taoists, Buddhists, Jews, and possibly even Jesus. The name Jesus Christ actually means the Anointed One. Christ is a Greek term for the Hebrew term Messiah, which means the Anointed One. It refers to the same anointing oil that Moses used to speak to God. And in the Bible's New Testament, Jesus actually baptizes none of the apostles, but he sends out the 12 apostles with oil to cast out demons and heal the sick. And casting out demons in the ancient world, that was treating things like epilepsy, which was thought to be demonic possession up until the 16th or 17th century. It wasn't even recognized as a disease. And we take a look at the miracle happening with epilepsy right now in our own time, these suffering children, and this healing medicine coming about in our own time. You know what I mean? You know, I think, you know, there's this prophecy in the New Testament about the tree of life, and it talks about the healing of nations and its multi-fruits. And I look at this plant, and I see how we could heal our planet by converting away from cutting down our old growth forests and converting to hemp paper. We can get away from that petroleum that's causing global warming and deal with greenhouse gases by creating biomass hemp fuels. How we have the most nutritious form of protein, most digestible form of protein on the earth, and highest force form of a digestible essential fatty acids in the hemp seed. This wonderful seed that we could feed the world with and move away from eating so much meat and other things like that that are killing our planet and making it worse, you know? And then how it's dealing with all these different ailments. You know, we saw Elby Masika here and how she saved her eyesight from glaucoma with cannabis, and the, like I was saying about the epilepsy, and people claiming cancer cures from cannabis oil. Cancer cures, people shrinking tumors, and it's happening. We're all seeing this happening. If you're on the internet at all, you're hearing about people getting rid of things like brain tumors and things like that, you know, with this miracle plant. And a lot of diseases, things like Crohn's disease and other diseases of the bowels. They're thought to be endocannabinoid deficiencies. That means the body itself is not producing enough of endocannabinoids, and that's why cannabis works so well in our bodies, because it has cannabinoids that fit into the same receptor sites throughout our body that the endocannabinoids fit into. So it's like we have some sort of like pre-culture relationship, you know? It's like we evolved with this plant, and scientists are even suggesting that. People like Dr. Guy Jeffries of GW Pharmaceuticals believes that cannabis played a pivotal role in the time period that's known as the Great Leap Forward. This is like 50,000 years ago. And we have like evidence of hemp growing going back almost that far. 30,000 years we can find tools used in breaking the fibers off the hemp stalk. So we have this agent relationship, tens of thousands of years. And our right to this plant, man, it's a fundamental, natural human right. It's like a right to air and water. This is life on earth, man. And when we're talking about a plant like cannabis, we're talking about a plant that we've had as a human species in a relationship with 10,000 years. So this is our indigenous right. From wherever you are around this whole globe, Africa, Asia, North America, South America, your culture has had some sort of important relationship with this plant, and being denied that relationship is denying you your natural rights. And here in Oregon, you're just kind of winning that back for the world right now, you know what I mean? So God bless to that, and thanks so much for coming out to Hempstock and taking part in this incredible event.
Great stuff right there, Chris Bennett, illustrating why I like to throw the word history into this spirituality and marijuana talk, because really, you're almost talking about both.
You are listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Today, we're looking at marijuana, spirituality, and religion. In addition to yours truly, you're hearing from two brilliant researchers and writers, Steve Hager and Chris Bennett. Let's get back to it.
Doug McVeigh, spirituality and history.
Oh, spirituality and history. Let's, you know, history's good, but let's talk about the now for a moment, because that's what it's really about. Well, kind of the now. 30 years ago, I was living out on this organic farm out in Clackamas County on Sunnyside Road. Doesn't look like you'd ever have a farm out there these days. They've developed it so heavy. But there was one, Deborah and Fred Arthur. Wonderful people. Deborah, God rest her soul, and Fred, he's still around. He was a chief petitioner for the Oregon Marijuana Initiative, became ballot measure 5, ran the Live and Let Live PAC, went around the state trying to get people to vote for an initiative to legalize marijuana back in the mid-80s when the Reagan era was making it tough for anybody to even say the word out loud. Brilliant, brave people. And you know, at our service a few months ago, I was just too broken up to be able to talk about this, and I think it's about as good a time as any. On Sundays, we would get together at the farm, and anybody who was living there, and there were always a crew of people living there because they were helping a lot of the initiative go on, so people who were working on there would get some crash space over at Fred and Deb's. And then other folks would show up, because Sunday mornings we'd have services. Sunday services. Paul, you remember Deborah's Sunday services.
I do indeed.
And it was just, you know, it wasn't a religious thing. It wasn't about any kind of organized religion. It was about spirituality. This is the discussion we are having, because religion is so fraught with meaning and with a lot of anger and animosity. I mean, a backsliding Methodist such as myself, I mean, I was raised agnostic, for heaven's sake. They didn't think of it that way. That's just Methodism. But, you know, you have people, and they take this stuff real serious because they belong to some kind of thing or other, and we've lost track. You know, I mean, at some level, when you talk about cannabis and religion, people start to roll their eyes because they're waiting for the bit where you ask for some money and you explain that for just a few bucks we can have this brilliant place that's going to be just, you know, hook me up, bro. No. This is about spirituality. It's about the spirit. And so what we do is we just get together, we'd have breakfast and have a few bites and roll some joints and relax and listen to some awesome classic rock, maybe some reggae, some good stuff. And it was brilliant because it was about the spirit. Coming together and chatting and talking and getting some work done together, and it was just about community, a communion as it were, very much so. And that's what it was about. When I was growing up, I was at best a Republican. I was ready to go to war. I wanted to become a cop. Things change. After I smoked weed for the first time, I started to think about other people like they were people too, and, you know, develop something called empathy. And it's all about developing community and the things that we're talking about here throughout history. On a personal level, yeah, no, that happened. That worked for me. It worked for me. And that's why spirituality, oh, no, that's the thing. See, I mean, it's easy to evangelize about this stuff, and I promised I would not do that, but I will say I am feeling the spirit. Do you feel the spirit? Come on, you feel the spirit? All right. Here's a few, I forgot to start off. Good morning, by the way. Good day. I got it. It's that's what it's all about. It's about the spirit, and I'll hand over the mic in a second. But I just wanted to thank you so much for being here. Oh yeah, we got questions. Everything.
This is a religion we're involved in, people, and it's been going on for decades. It's like a little baby infant religion that hasn't really fully birthed itself. But we know the direction we want to go. We want our religion to be completely democratic. We don't want any popes telling us what's what. We're all in charge of our own personal religions. That's the way it should be. Nobody gets to tell anybody anything about dogma, you know? So maybe in another 50-100 years, people will recognize that this is a new form of religion, a religion not built on social control and predatory behaviors, which is what has been going on. So, like, you know, I'm not accepting any money from anybody, and I'm not looking for donations from anybody. I'm telling you, make your own candles, call your friends to your living room on Sundays, give them food, do it every week. And after your friends realize the power of what you're doing, you guys can pull your money and buy your own church and just keep it in your circle. But please invite everybody to the ceremony. Don't let anybody take it over. Make sure all the women are heavily involved. Make sure the gays are all heavily involved. Make sure everybody feels like this spirituality, this religion welcomes them. And we can build a new universe with this energy. Marijuana is the key to stopping the hoodwink. If you want enlightenment, people, it doesn't come from taking drugs or plants. It doesn't come from meditation. It comes from politically waking up to what's really happening. We're in a world of hoodwinks. They manufacture war to make profit. And the religions are part of this game. So we must break through, invite all the religions into the temple, put down the swords, pick up the plowshares, show people there's a better way. And we know that way is nonviolence and respecting everybody. It's very clear that we've been on the right path for a long time, and we don't get respect for what we've built. But this culture is very real, and we are going to change the world with it.
Just to be clear, the kind of thing that Steve's talking about so very much, just what we were doing back at Arthur's Farm back in the day, is building that community, not on some creed or religion and everyone being welcome, and it's that... Yeah, I mean, I feel proud to have this Pod Illuminati pin on, and I know that Deborah would have been one of your founding members.
You know, Gandhi said, politics is my religion, and I think that's really, you know, like service, man. You know, like, you know about this plant, you tell other people about this plant, and you heal the planet, and you heal yourself, and you heal your community, man. Each one of these medical clubs in this city, each one of these recreational centers, they're like community centers, man. You see people in there bonding together. It's like a whole new sense of community and healing and all sorts of stuff.
That's it for this edition of Free Culture Radio. This show, in addition to really all the others, is dedicated to the memory of the Emperor of Hemp, my mentor and friend, the late Jack Harrer. I want to thank my guests, Steve Hager and Chris Bennett. And my thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/KBOO Free Culture Radio. Please give it a like. You can find links there to past shows, announcements about upcoming programs and events, and other stuff like news items that may be of interest. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. I'm Doug McVeigh. Good night.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dookie Jam, Thursday, December 1st at 10 p.m. at Dante's in Portland. The Dookie Jam is a funk jam session that happens monthly at Dante's. Lots of funky treats for your eyes and ears, including live streaming video on Audio Globe, and live streaming audio on the KBOO website. Again, that's Dookie Jam. Thursday, December 1st at 10 p.m. at Dante's, 350 West Burnside in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information about the performance and schedule can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue in Portland. KBOO and Elysian Brewing will celebrate the release of the Manic IPA series with hip-hop, funk, and electronica spun by The Pariahs, DJ Dakimba, and Vinology. Again, that's Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue, 3341 Southeast Belmont Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey there, good people. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. It's 7 p.m. It's Wednesday. It's November 16th, and we're about to listen to your daily episode of Hard Knock Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
Three, four. Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
94.1.
What you see here is history. It's history. Never been done before. Never been done in this country. In this country.
KPFA.